Welcome to our service for the fourth Sunday of Advent. We begin with one of my favourite Christmas carols. The French tune to which it's set is from the carol Louez cet odeur agréable, whence is this lovely fragrance flowing, so that we sometimes call this tune fragrance. The English words, though, are not a translation of that, but from a different poem. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thrones for a manger didst surrender, sapphire-paved courts for stable floor. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake becamest poor. Our theme for this fourth Sunday of Advent is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Christ, to whom so many Christians daily pray, "Pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now the collect for the fourth Sunday of Advent. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, beginning at the second verse. The Lord says to his people, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up, until the time when she who is in labour has brought forth, and then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the great churches of Rome, not far from the Pantheon, is the Basilica of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva. As a Christian church, it's dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the church, as its name suggests, was built sopra, above or over, the site of the temple to the Roman goddess Minerva. And the change from Minerva to Mary tells us something about how the doctrine of the Blessed Virgin Mary came to be so important in the church. What we think about Mary remains a key point of difference, perhaps the key point of difference, between Protestants and Catholics. Protestants traditionally take what we call a low view of her. She is important, but not overwhelmingly important in the gospel narratives, not as important, probably, as John the Baptist, for example, of whom we've been thinking in the last 2 weeks, not as important as Peter or James or John. And so Protestants tend to estimate her at that fundamentally biblical level. In the Roman Catholic tradition, though, it's become commonplace to call Mary the Queen of Heaven, the most important of all the saints. And Roman Catholic piety makes great use of her intercession with her Son, summed up in the words of the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria. Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. When the first Christians went out into the Roman Empire to preach the good news of Christ, they went out into a world in which the role of goddesses was very important. In Acts chapter 19, we read that there was a riot in Ephesus when the Apostle Paul was working and preaching there. And those who whipped up the crowd said, "There is danger that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be scorned, and she will be deprived of her majesty that brought all Asia and the world to worship her. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And as Artemis was to Ephesus, so the goddess Athena was to Athens, and so on. Cities and communities, families and individuals all had goddesses whom they held dear and whom they regarded as patrons. And the Christian preachers did not, at first, have any aspect of the female principle to offer them as part of the new way. Indeed, the Judaism out of which the new faith sprang, and of which it claimed at first still to be a part, this Judaism was known to be rigorously masculine in its conception of the one true God, and to emphasise the silence and separation of women, for example, in its worship. We don't know exactly when or where that started to change, but it happened with surprising speed that the Christian Church introduced a higher reverence for the figure of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It may indeed first have happened in Asia Minor, the area around Ephesus. Asia Minor is traditionally associated with the Apostle John, to whose care Mary is entrusted in the Gospel that bears his name. And fittingly enough, it was at the Council of Ephesus some 400 years later than the events in Acts, that the name Theotokos, God-bearer, was approved for Mary. By then, the term had probably already been in use for 200 years. There was a need and a clear desire for the account of God and the account of the good news to include some aspect of the feminine principle, and the heightened doctrine of reverence for Mary, to some extent, met that need. At one level, it continues to do so still. Traditionally, feminists have had legitimate questions about the Virgin Mary. The fact that she is revered principally as a virgin and as a mother has been seen as limiting the roles in which a woman may be approved to ones which men might choose for them. Perhaps so, but as recent events in Afghanistan have tragically shown us, if as a woman you were going to be a member of one of the great faith communities, there's not much doubt that you would enjoy more freedom as a Christian woman. Nor is there much doubt that women's freedoms are greater in countries which are or were traditionally Christian. And it is very probable that the reverence in which Mary came to be held in the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic churches was crucial to those societal developments of the freedom of women. All this is a long way, of course, from the young and presumably terrified young woman betrothed to a North Country carpenter who is the subject of our gospel reading today. That story, though, offers us further explanation of the reverence in which Mary came to be held. There's something deeply human, and of course something deeply female, when Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb at the sound of Mary's greeting. At one level, they share, as pregnant women have always shared, the very intimate joy of the mystery of being the bearer of new life. The first words of the Hail Mary are taken from Elizabeth's response to that joy. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Mary's response to the angel originally had been, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it to me according to your word. It's quite hard to hold on to that picture of her humility when you go to Rome and see the ostentatious wealth of the great churches and basilicas that bear her name. But in truth, she's no different in that respect from her carpenter's son and his fisherman friends. She's come to be held in awe and reverence precisely because of that humility in the Lord's sight. The prophecy we hear in today's gospel reading has been fulfilled. He has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant, and from now on, all generations will call her blessed. Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. In tad at hanoit an anavoid, sancte the de enu, de leda dernas gunella de wechlis, megis an ane vechli ara de ar hebid. De rani heddiw ein para beinyddiol, a maddai ni ein deledion, fel a maddiw ni na ein deledwyr, ac nac arwani brofedigaeth, Ethe gwared ni rhag drwg, can eis eitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Everlasting God, we share today with Mary and Elizabeth their love and joy as the waiting for Jesus' birth nears its end. Quieten our hearts and lives so that we can hear your voice amongst the hustle and bustle of everyday life as Christmas approaches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for all our preparations during Advent. During this busyness, may we not lose sight of the true message of Christmas. We pray for all of our clergy leading Christmas worship, for Matthew and Judith, for Bishop Joanna, Archdeacon Eileen, and Area Dean John, and for all who contribute to our church services. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for our world leaders, for the royal family, for heads of state in Europe, the Commonwealth, and for the United Nations. We remember before you all those who will spend the Christmas period away from home, in conflict in Syria and the Middle East, praying earnestly for an end to war and terrorism. We pray also for those affected by the horrific tornadoes in Kentucky, for those who have lost loved ones, their homes, and their businesses. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we give you thanks for all who work to provide us with food, warmth, and gifts during this Christmas time. Help us to hold in our hearts the less fortunate, for whom Christmas Day will be just like any other day. We give thanks for the work of Shelter Cymru, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and all other charitable groups who work throughout the year, not just at Christmas, to care for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we call to mind all those who we know who are struggling with life and for whom Christmas will be a difficult time. We especially ask for your comfort and healing for all those who are coping with illness and ask you to be close to those who care for them. We give you thanks for those who have been healed or are in the process of recovery and recuperation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we remember those who have departed this life and thank you for the good that you have worked in their lives. Comfort all whose lives are saddened by the death of a loved one. Be with them in their loneliness and help them to know that Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is the light of the world which no darkness can quench. We remember especially all our friends who we have lost this last year. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Son of God, your mysterious coming is beyond our understanding. Yet like your Holy Mother Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, we pray that you come to us as you promised. Help us to serve you in any way that we can, knowing that you are with us day by day, through the joys of Christmas and into the uncertainty of the new year, especially in the light of the ongoing pandemic. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, rise upon you and scatter the darkness from before your path. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen. Amen.